1 Kings 15. 1 Kings 15. Now, all you folks are familiar with, there was a divided kingdom. After King Solomon, his son did some things that 10 of the tribes out of the 12 did not like, so they formed their own country, the northern half, and they became known as Israel. Well, the southern half of the kingdom was Judah. And one fact to always remember is there was no good kings from the north, from Israel. Makes it easy. No good kings at all from the north. From the south, there was a few. There was this man named Rehoboam. We already mentioned him. His son was Abijah, and Abijah's son was Asa, King Asa. Starts in 1 Kings 15 and verse 9, the record of Asa's life. 1 Kings 15. I was in 2 Kings. There's some more details about King Asa in 2 Chronicles, and I'm just going to mention some of those verses for the sake of speed. Asa was Abijah's son, and Asa loved the Lord. Remember I said some of the kings from the south, some of those were good? Asa was one of those guys. He loved the Lord, and he reigned for 41 years. Now, his dad was Abijah, Rehoboam's son, Solomon's grandson. Anybody know off the top of your head how long Abijah reigned for? Pardon me? Abijah? It's chapter 15, verse 2. 3 years, okay? Now, Asa ruled for 41 years. Abijah ruled for 3 years. Now, is that a little bit of an indicator which one of them loved the Lord? Do you see the difference there? Okay, Asa did what was right in the Lord's eyes, and the Lord blessed him with this longevity of ministry, and all the different kings were like that. It's very fascinating, except for Manasseh. He ruled for almost 50 years, I think, and he was really bad, but he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Is that something you would like God to say to you? Yeah, that's one of the things. I'd love for people at my funeral to say, well, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Well, that was King Asa. Are you living your life in such a way that God could say that? Just a thought, okay? And once again, I'm in 2 Chronicles, but I think I'm going to hit up this some stuff in I don't know, maybe I'm in Chronicles the whole time. 2 Chronicles, here's a list of a few things that Asa did right in the eyes of the Lord. He got rid of idols. He encouraged the people to follow God. And other verses talk about how he just honored the Lord. And one of the instances was this very large army was coming to invade Israel from Egypt. And previously they had defeated Judah, so they thought they'd try again. So the Bible says Asa had an army of 300,000 men from Judah, equipped with large shields and spears, and 280,000 from Benjamin with small shields and bows. And all these were brave fighting men. This is from 2 Chronicles 14. So they had all these men, 580,000. Now, does anybody, I mean, if you're really good at Bible trivia, how many did the Egyptians have in this coalition of African kings? Anybody? It says, it's 2 Chronicles 14, verse 9. It says, Zerah the Cushite march out against them with a vast army and 300 chariots. The Hebrew literally there for a vast army, it's actually is a thousand thousands. Anybody know, good at math, what's a thousand times a thousand? It's a million. So there's 580,000 versus 1 million. Outnumbered almost 2 to 1. And what did Asa realize at that point? Couldn't do it by himself. We talked a little bit about that this morning, right? Where do we find our strength? the Lord. He realized he could not do it by himself, so he went to the Lord for help. Verse 12 says that the Lord won the battle for them, and they killed so many men, they couldn't even count them. Pretty significant victory. Well, later on in Asa's life, 2 Chronicles 15, a prophet comes to remind Asa, the Lord is with you when you are with him. Isn't that kind of neat? The Lord is with you when you are with him. Okay? The same is true today. Or was it just true for King Asa? No, the same is true today, right? The Lord is with us, literally helping us, answering our prayers, protecting us when we are with him, when we're living for him, when we're serving him, when we're doing things that honor him. When I was growing up, there was times that I wanted to do something. Maybe go to a certain place, maybe get something purchased for me, and go out with friends or something like that. So I didn't like spring that on my parents immediately. I wouldn't be like, hey, Mom, can I go do this or that? Sometimes I'd maybe find out about it on Monday, and I knew it was Friday or Saturday. Well, all week, I would be helping my folks. They wouldn't even have to ask me to dry the dishes. I would just go do them. I would just be right there, make sure my room was completely spotless. I would try to be loving and honoring to my parents. And usually, what do you think my parents would do? They'd catch on. You're up to something, aren't you? What is it? What is it that you want? And they would, what do you think they would do? They'd give it to me, right? Because I'd been with them all week. My parents were with me because I was with them. Well, the same is true with God. He is with us when we are with him. So King Asa, in the 2 Chronicles 15 passage, he gets really excited to hear that God would be with him. And so he makes this decision to seek out all these idol-worshiping places, and he tried to break them down. And eventually, you'll read in that passage in 1 Kings, I believe, he did not get every place, but he was trying, and he made that decision. He was following through with it as best as he could. Isn't it great to make decisions for God and then to follow through? Like this morning we preached, and we had some very clear-cut challenges at the end. Some people might say, well, yeah, you know, I'm gonna decide to do that. I'm going to decide to pray more. Follow through, okay? That's what King Asa did. All right, notice something else. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 9. I know I told you to turn to 1 Kings. I'm in Chronicles half the time. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 9, it says, then he assembled Judah and Benjamin, all the people from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon who had settled among them, for large numbers had come over to him from Israel, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Isn't that kind of neat? I'm just sort of cherry-picking some verses out of King Asa's life. Lots of times, Christians, we make this decision, right, to live for the Lord, to stand up for God. But then we're afraid to follow through with that decision because we think, well, I'm going to be made fun of. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be persecuted. And did you know? When you stand up for the Lord, that's not always true, right? Asa made a decision. He followed through with it, and other Christians weren't making fun of him. Actually, people from the north were leaving the north, and they were coming to the south because they saw that the Lord God was with him. They're like, I actually want to be around that guy. You know, when you make a decision to live for God, others will be encouraged, and they may start living for God too. Instead, we're like, you know, so scared, like, oh, I better not stand up. I better not do this. People might stand up. You might be the catalyst to get somebody else to. That's what King Asa was doing. Verse 16 and 17, he was having some war with the Israel still, and he has this clever plan to talk to Ben-Hadad. He's king of Aram, and he's the king of Syria, and he has a treaty with Israel. But Asa from Judah, the southern kingdom, he comes to him and says, you know, I'm going to give you some money, a substantial amount of money, and I want you to attack Israel for me. And Ben-Hadad does this, and he had a lot of stress. Asa did, all this pressure to do what was right, and he wanted to protect his country, and he sees the northern kingdom sort of surrounding him and attacking him, and he needs relief. So who does he go to? A king from Syria, not the king of the universe. Isn't it funny that even if we are doing things right all along, we can make mistakes? He makes one. He's trying to live for the Lord. He's trying to live for God as best he can. But when he has all this crumbling in, he goes to an earthly king. He's relying on the wrong things. He's relying on the wrong person when he should have relied on God. Now, a few years before this, they had this huge battle, right? 580,000 versus a million. What did God do? Help them. They got victory, yeah. So now he's going against the northern kingdom of Israel. I'm guessing a smaller number in the army. And instead of being like, God, help us. Hey, Ben-Hadad, can you help us? It's like he completely forgot about God. So what do you think happened? What do you think happened? Most kings back then, if they did something sort of out of line, somebody would go to him, a prophet. A prophet goes to Asa to give them this message from God at 2 Chronicles 16. The prophet said that since he relied on Ben-Hadad instead of God, he didn't get everything from God that he could have. When you read it, it's almost like he's suggesting that, hey, not only could you have beaten Israel, but you could have beaten Ben-Hadad, and they could have all been paying you tribute and taxes. Instead, you had to give up money for somebody else to do it. And this prophet said this, it's 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. I like those verses like that. There's some other verses where it says, his eyes roam to and fro. I always like that, to and fro. You know, we may do something in our life that we think is right. We're just convinced that it's right. But maybe our parents, maybe our friends, maybe some family member, maybe the Bible says, well, that's not quite right. And then we go do it, and it works. So we're like, ha-ha, parents, friends, pastors, you were wrong because it worked. But you know what? It's not what God wanted. Yeah, it worked. He got Israel off his back. That's not what God wanted. In the end, it's going to end up in some trouble. 2 Chronicles 16:10, a very short verse. What does it say? Anybody there? And Asa was angry. Asa was angry with that prophet, right? What sort of took over Asa's life right there? Sin. What specifically, what sin? Pride? Anger? Just took him over. In your life experience, is there any sins that can just consume you? Just sort of take over? I wrote down a few: anger, lust, alcohol, drugs, bitterness, unkindness, things like this. We need to avoid those types of sins. Now, common sense says we look at people, we're like, yeah, I don't want to live like that. And then we look at the scriptures, right? God gave us these scriptures, these people to show us, that's not a great idea. Anger just completely took over Asa's life. He was angry with himself for not taking over both countries. He's angry with God because he didn't get his way, and everyone was happy with the results of this treaty, right? Except who? God. So then Asa was angry. Now look at 2 Chronicles 16:12. Asa sort of is, I don't know if touched is a good word. Touched? He was afflicted with a disease in his feet. And this is telling right here. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from his physicians. Wow. He got a serious foot disease. It was something from the Lord to teach him a lesson, to drive him back to God, I think. The lesson was, drop your anger and rely on me again, please. But Asa had such bitterness and such anger that he refused to talk to God about it. 1 Kings 23 says he died. I don't know if that's right. He says he died from the foot disease, having never prayed about it. Just went to God, or went to the doctors and stayed away from God. Actually, it's 15:23. He died from a foot disease. That's the last line, last sentence in that verse for 1 Kings 15:23. His whole life. How long did he reign for? Anybody recall that? 41 years. Long time. Living for God, doing things for God. And then something happened, and there was like a little switch that went off, and anger and bitterness took over. And what did he do? Walked away from God. Distanced himself from God. You know, I think as believers, we need to be very cautious about anger specifically and bitterness and unforgiveness, because it can take us over and it can drive us away from God, and it can actually cause us to just be like, no, all I have to do is ask God for help, but I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. Don't let some prideful attitude or sin keep you away from God. Rely on God, serve God, honor God. He will help you, and he will honor you, and he will protect you. But when you stop being with God, he will stop being with you. Not that he's ever going to leave you and forsake you. That's not what I'm meaning. He just did not have the blessings. And an opportunity just sort of slipped through his fingers. We got to be very careful not to let sin take over, because they can. And what's telling is this guy was a godly man. He loved the Lord. But sin just took over his heart, and it ruined his relationship with the Lord. And as sin takes over our lives, it will do the same exact thing. Same thing. So my prayer and my hope for all of us is, you know, some of these kings, we've studied them here and there. There's a lot of lessons to be learned. Be very careful about those sins that can just overtake us. Is there any questions, comments, anything? Anything about Asa that you recall? Mark. Yeah, he did a lot of good stuff there at the beginning, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess maybe that's why I had you turn there. You can read some of those verses yourself. I didn't hit everyone. Yeah. We could probably spend months and months going over these kings of Israel and Judah. I've done it before. It's a fascinating study. I just sort of grabbed one out of the hat. I almost went with Abijah, and I'm like, Asa sounds a little bit more interesting. So we went with him. But Mark.
Christians, if we really know that God's in control of all things, when we're hurt or offended by somebody, we have to recognize that that was allowed by God. And if we're bitter at somebody, really when you pull the disguise away, we're bitter at God, which is exactly what was going on with Asa.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that clarity. Anything else? Neil.
Some of these kings were 5, 6, 7 years old, so his mother was actually not on the throne because mothers were working through children.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's at least one case of a priest kind of helping them. Yeah, all kinds of different situations. It's really an interesting study. Well, let's pray, and then we'll see what that, you can close us out with the final point of business. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to understand and really learn and apply even some obscure passage from Chronicles to our daily lives and our walk with you. Lord, we definitely know, not only from your word, but from our own life experience, that there are sins that can just really consume us and take us over. And Father, I would ask that you protect us from those types of things, that we wouldn't have this, you know, 40 or 50 years of awesome closeness with you only to fall in sin at the end of our lives like Asa. So Father, may we be sensitive to those prophets that intercept us and confront us with our sinful habit. And may we not throw them in prison or, you know, disregard their counsel, Father. May we be open and available and sensitive and moldable by your word and your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.